You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In Atlanta, just prior to the 1996 Olympics, six ordinances were passed. These laws essentially criminalized homelessness. As a result, up to 9,000 homeless men were arrested. Vans passing out food were ticketed. Other homeless people were removed from town. 4 years later, Sydney repeated these tactics for the 2000 Games. The police there were suddenly granted new powers to arrest those panhandling, busking, or just hanging around. Others were bussed out of town to a tent encampment. And now it's Vancouver's turn. Politicians here have been busy with plans to deal with the homeless during the Olympics. David Eby is executive director of the BC Civil Liberties Association, and he's joined me to discuss some of these plans. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Now, I understand that your organization has come across some new government strategies to deal with homelessness during the Olympics. What is the most recent plan?
Well, that's a great question. We don't really know. We uncovered some memos from a source from inside the housing ministry at the provincial level that indicated bureaucrats were working on a draft piece of legislation called the Assistance to Shelter Act. Now, this act would essentially create a regime where a police officer seeing someone who's homeless on the street could say, please report to the nearest housing shelter, there's extreme weather, and if the person refused, the police officer could call, get an administrative certificate, and take the person to the shelter, and if they still refuse to go into the shelter, take them to jail and release them into cells where they'd be held until the so-called extreme weather event was over.
So this would be done against their will, even if they didn't want to go to a homeless shelter?
Yeah, the memos expressly outline that force could be used in effecting the arrest of the homeless person and that they could be held in cells against their will. Now, the important thing to note about, because it sounds kind of, you know, well, what's the problem with that? There were 37 extreme weather days last winter, and extreme weather in Vancouver traditionally has been defined as 3 days or more of rain in a row. So if you're thinking about the Winter Olympics, thinking about February in Vancouver, I mean, that's a pretty rainy month, and it could mean the homeless being detained for a significant portion of the month.
Now, how did you discover these plans? Did the government make some sort of announcements?
No, they were leaked to us from a source.
I see, okay. Now, the words assist and protect are used in these documents. Is there really any intent here to protect homeless people?
Well, I mean, this is just it. It sounds great, and the minister is saying things like, oh, you know, I'd love to save lives, but these people who insist on rights are preventing me from saving the lives that I really desperately want to save. The issue is that when you force people into shelters, they're going to hide from outreach workers, they're going to hide from police officers, they're going to hide from members of the public, and these are the people who intervene when they're in medical distress. So if you're hiding under a stairwell where no one can see you and you're dying, no one's going to call 911 to help you out. And in addition, if the minister were truly concerned about the fact that people were dying in the streets, you'd think maybe he'd open enough shelter spaces to serve the homeless population that we have across the province. There are many cities that don't have any homeless shelters at all, despite the fact that they have significant homeless populations. And in Vancouver, we've got far more than 1,500 homeless people in our last homeless count. But even in the worst weather we have, we only have 1,300 shelter spaces.
And have there been any plans to increase the number of shelters?
Not that I know of. In fact, the minister actively intervened to close two of the heat shelters this winter after neighbors around it said they were tired of seeing the people who were using the shelter, or they said were using the shelter, using drugs in their neighborhood. They felt that it was an inappropriate neighborhood for there to be a shelter and marginalized people nearby. And so the minister actually personally intervened and shut down those two shelters. So he's actually shutting down shelters at a time when he says he's so concerned about saving lives during extreme weather.
Well, after taking people off the street and there's no new shelter space, where are they going to put them?
Well, that's a great question, too, because a lot of people are doing the math, and if you've got 300 more, because it's about 1,597, let's just take the lowest possible count, which is the homeless count from last winter. If you've got 300 too few shelter spaces, there's not even enough space in jail for 300 people. So if you arrested all of these people and took them to jail, there wouldn't be space, so there would have to be some kind of temporary facility set up. And, you know, it gets very easy to become very conspiratorial about these plans when you look at other Olympic cities and what they've done. and for people to say, you know, that's crazy, that would never happen here. And, you know, I was one of those people. Like 2 years ago, I was filmed for an Olympic documentary that someone was doing and that Conrad Schmidt was doing, and I said, there's no way that people in Vancouver would put up with homeless people being arrested, taken off to jail. But, man, the provincial government's really made a believer out of me with the so-called Assistance to Shelter Act.
And how did the government respond to these revelations?
Well, the housing minister confirmed them all for Frances Bueller in the Globe and Mail. We provided her with copies of the documents, and she called the minister, and he said, yep, that's the plan. It's worth a try. You know, people are going to make complaints about rights, but we need to do this to save lives. By the end of the day, on Monday, after that paper came out, he was telling CBC that, oh, there was never any plan to arrest people. There was no movement to put people into jail, despite the fact that that was the very clear wording of the memos that he had confirmed for the Globe and Mail just the day before. So there was a huge outcry, both, I imagine, within his government, from the lawyers who looked at the plan and said, there's not a chance it's constitutional, but also in the media, and there was no backup from either the police, which was notable, or from the homeless service providers to say, hey, this is a great idea. This is really going to help the homeless. This is what we need. Nobody backed the minister up on it, and I think that's one of the reasons why he started making these comments. But we're still staying tuned because the minister, despite saying there's no movement afoot to arrest people, has said that he is proceeding with this legislation, and it's going to be introduced in this session in the provincial legislature. So we're waiting very keenly to see what the wording is.
And why do you suppose the police didn't back him up on this issue?
Well, I think the general feeling, and I would just be speculating here, and is that the police have better things to do. You know, we're in the middle of a gang war in the Lower Mainland. There's people getting shot all over the city. When I think about police and the responsibilities of police and what we would hope the police would do, rounding up homeless people and carting them off to jail is not a priority. And I've got to imagine that for most of the people in Lower Mainland, that's certainly not a priority. And so for the police themselves, they recognize that, the PR disaster that it would be for them, the difficulty in forcing people who are very marginalized into shelters, the difficulty once they get to shelters, keeping them in the shelters. You know, it's just a nightmare on a logistical level, on a PR level, and in terms of police priority levels. And I think that's why you didn't hear Jim Chu say one word about this plan publicly.
Now, there's still no bylaw, as far as I understand. There's still no bylaw against sitting or sleeping on the sidewalk in Vancouver. Is that right?
That is correct. Technically, in Vancouver, as long as you're sleeping on a sidewalk and not blocking pedestrian traffic, and you're on the public property, you're allowed to do that. But the reality, as we all know, we've all seen the downtown ambassadors, we've all seen the police moving homeless people along. I've watched regularly while police officers move people along who are sleeping on sidewalks in Gastown, for example. It's functionally illegal to sleep on a sidewalk in Vancouver, even though it's technically illegal under our bylaws.
So there's still considerable harassment by police and security guards of homeless people?
Well, it depends on where you are. So if you're on Water Street in Gastown, for example, the rules change. Or if you're on Robinson Street, or if you're in one of these sort of higher-income neighborhoods, then not okay to sleep on the sidewalk. But if you're in the downtown east side, if you're in Crab Park, it's more acceptable from a police perspective. So basically what they're doing is applying differential rules across the city to move homeless people along and corralling people who are homeless into the downtown east side area.
Are the police legally allowed to do that?
No, they're not. And despite the fact that we've raised concerns on many occasions about police tactics relating to people who are sleeping on sidewalks and the effect of these private security companies that work for business improvement associations moving homeless people along, there's been very little change. And it doesn't seem to matter which municipal government is in power. There's very little interest. In fact, it was just shortly after our new council was elected that the VPD instituted their ticket campaign, where they gave out more than 1,000 tickets in a week to people in the downtown east side area for things like biking without bells and that sort of thing, jaywalking and illegal vending. So that, in fact, actually about a month ago, the police were already at their total for the entire number of tickets they'd given out for the year before. And most of that is driven by this huge crackdown that happened in the downtown east side giving out tickets.
Now, I understand that the BC Civil Liberties Association is going to provide legal observer training for the 2010 Olympics. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, we're really excited about the program. It's going to be really our one of the most robust responses to Olympic civil liberties crackdowns that we know of. We're training people to be observers during the games. We're sending them out with video cameras, still cameras, and clipboards, notepads, to record violations of people's rights so that we can respond either during the games by going to court, or worst-case scenario, after the games by going to court or by filing complaints or these kinds of various administrative remedies that might be available, backed up by videotape and photo evidence that they've taken. Our initial hope was actually to train 150 people, and that we'd end up with 50 teams of two, so 100 trained observers available during the games. At our first training session, we had 50 people show up. We were expecting 20, so the demand has been huge. And we've revised our numbers up. We're hoping to train somewhere in the neighborhood of 200, 250 people, possibly even 300, and then have 75 to 100 teams of two during the Olympics. Now, the goal there are about 40 Olympic venues in the Lower Mainland that we could actually have observers at all of the venues recording what the security team tactics are, recording their interactions between, for example, protesters and security forces, making sure that they're held accountable for what they do.
And have you been in contact with the police and the Olympic committee to indicate that you're going to be doing this?
Yes, we have. We've touched base with the Vancouver Police Department and with the Integrated Security Unit. Steve Sweeney, who's a senior officer with the VPD, got back to us and said that he was interested in knowing more about the program and in photographs of uniforms so that he could instruct his officers about the role of the observers, and that was our goal, that we would be very transparent about this and that the VPD wouldn't be able to say, oh, we didn't know what the observers were when we seized their videotape, we didn't know what they were when we arrested them, so that they would know what the role of the observers were. The ISU, actually, is very interested in the program and informing their officers as well. I got a letter from Bud Mercer just the other day that they are interested in meeting with us about that and following up and learning more about the program.
Well, this most recent proposal has blown up in the face of the Liberals. What can we expect from them in the future, David?
Well, you know, I hope that it's enough to really kill the plan to force people, to take the homeless to jail, basically, or to turn our shelters into jails. But what we need to look for is the introduction of this legislature and whether the uproar that came from this initial round is enough to kill the plan entirely, or whether they're just going to massage it a little bit before it's introduced in the legislature. So we'll be watching for that. And anyone who's interested in the legal observer training, we have a training coming up on October 22nd at Britannia. It's in the Canucks Community Education, Canucks Family Education Center. Everybody's welcome.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today, David.
Thanks, it's my pleasure.
I've been talking with David Eby. David is Executive Director of the BC Civil Liberties Association. To learn more about the government's plans on homelessness, you can go to the BC Civil Liberties Association webpage at bccla.org.